الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. After praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and asking him to exalt the mention and grant peace and send his blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I remind myself and you brothers to have taqwa of Allah and to say that which is straightforward and correct. If one were to do so, then Allah promised that Allah will forgive this person's sins and will rectify his deeds. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has already attained success. What I will be discussing with you this particular sermon is unusual. It's unusual. But there's a reason for that. Because sometimes when things become habitual and routine-based, they become ineffective and redundant and more or less boring. And therefore, I will not spend the time discussing the last 10 nights of Ramadan, even though this is something that requires not a khutbah, but many lectures and hours of studying and contemplation. However, that can be done at other times, in other occasions, through other means. What we'll be discussing today is something that is a little more critical than that. In fact, the validity of the ibadat which one engages in the month of Ramadan or outside the month of Ramadan are very much relevant to this issue. We have given a khutbah where the topic was Tawheed and the importance of Tawheed, and how without Tawheed, our deeds will be rendered invalid and void, and Allah will not accept them unless the foundation of Tawheed is there. Similarly, I wish to bring to your attention a group. The first group to deviate from mainstream Orthodox Islam. They sprouted at the time of the Sahaba. In fact, at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by a man known as Dhul Khuwaisira, who had the audacity to say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, i'dil. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was distributing some of the war booties which they had gained, this man assumed and accused the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of being unjust in his division. And so he said to him, O Muhammad, be just. Surely the Sahaba were not to take something like this lightly. And a couple of them sought request from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to chop off his head. But he didn't allow it. He said he's not alone. There will be many who will come, who will be like this individual. So killing him is not going to solve the problem, therefore leave him. So the people won't say that the Prophet ﷺ is killing his companions. Even though that statement is a statement of disbelief and apostasy. It is a statement of rejecting Islam after having accepted it. If the man who was entrusted with the revelation you're doubting, you don't trust him, then how do you trust him with the revelation he brings to you from Allah? You don't believe in him, in other words. So that's what happened. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described these individuals to the Sahaba. After he said that many will come who will be like him, he said, if you were to compare your salah, O companions, to their salah, you will see your salah to be insignificant. If you were to compare your fasting to their fasting, you will perceive your fasting as insignificant. They will be superior to you in worship. They will be more devout, if you want to call it that, in worship. In fact, they will have cracks on the palms of their hands because of abundance of sujood on the heat, during the heat on the hot sand. People that were totally immersed in ibadah and the recitation of the Quran. However, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it will not go beyond their throats. They read the Quran, but it will not go beyond their throats, which is what many Muslims are very good at doing today. During the blessed month of Ramadan, yeah, we recite a lot of Quran, which does not go beyond our throat. We're only looking for a quick business transaction. The one letter is equal to 10 good deeds. Fantastic. And then what? And then what? What about the message of the Quran? What about the rules and regulations? What about the do's and the don'ts? What about the prohibitions? What about the threatening of the fire and the promise of paradise? What about that message? That you cannot get by reading one letter, which is equal to 10 good deeds. That you will only get when we actually read the Quran, to read the Quran, to understand the Quran, which requires some extra effort. They will read the Quran, it will not go beyond their throats. It will not go down to their heart, in other words. It won't make it to the heart. Then he went on to say that if I were to be available when they will come out officially, because that was the first khuruj, the first khariji from among the khawarij, which is the group that we're discussing, those who went against the rulership in Islam, when it was legitimate, when it is legitimate and Islamic, of course. As for a kafir ruler, then that's a whole nother discussion. And it's not considered to be khuruj against him, because no kafir should be in charge of a Muslim. But don't be too excited and running around doing takfir on all the presidents of the countries just because you don't like their political stances. Takfir is a serious issue, and it's not our business to be dealing with it. Because some people get excited. They begin the takfir from this kingdom all the way to whatever countries they have memorized. Oh yeah, yeah, he's a kafir too. And that president, he's a kafir. And that king, yeah, he's a kafir. Don't dwell into this issue. Don't address it. You're not in a position to judge. So we keep quiet until we see kufr bawah, inevitable, blatant disbelief. Then there's a whole nother way of dealing with things. So the Khawarij, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if I were to be available when they will officially come out, I will kill them like Allah killed the people of Ad. He called them in another narration, kilabun nar, the dogs of the hellfire. This may sound a little outstanding. Just analyze this. People that do salah better than the Sahaba, outwardly, and their siyam is better than the Sahaba. They are there at the time of the Sahaba. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that they are the dogs of the hellfire. You must ask why. What is the crime? What could lead someone to this lowly position, even though he's in this virtuous time and virtuous companionship? It's one thing. Their methodology, their aqidah, was not one which is similar to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba. And we find on the other hand a Sahabi who used to get drunk often. Pay attention. A Sahabi who was tested by Allah with the fitna of intoxication and wine. He would often get drunk, and then he will be caught, then he will be brought, and then he will be lashed for having drunk intoxicants. And in one of the occasions, while he was being lashed, one of the Sahaba, jealous over the deen of Allah and the regulations being violated, He made dua against the Sahabi. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped him. He did not allow him. And he explained that I only know of him as someone who loves Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loved Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a sin. We all have sins. But his aqidah, his manhaj, was one in agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, even though he was being intoxicated and he was consuming intoxicants, no one was allowed to even make dua against him, while the other one was called the dogs of the hellfire. The other ones were called the dogs of the hellfire. What am I trying to say here? What I'm trying to say here is, it is lovely to be engaged in acts of worship every single night of Ramadan and when Ramadan ends. But my brothers in Islam, there is something that is way more important. Something which we have to do so that we will not be like the Khawarij. And it is no secret to you, the number of groups we have today in the Jama'at in Islam, it is not one and two and three. They are in the tens. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, 73. This ummah will divide into 73 groups and denominations. All of them shall enter the hellfire except one. Who is it? Those who are upon what the Prophet ﷺ was upon in the Sahaba. And the two generations which followed them. This Ramadan, even though we read in the Quran and we are praying Qiyam and we are fasting the day, Alhamdulillah, continue, do more, increase. But my brother in faith, take some time out and see, where do you stand in regards to this issue? Where are you from the correct aqidah and the sound manhaj? Where are you from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Which group have you joined? Which group is the one that tells you how to understand Islam? Who are we being influenced by? Who are the people we take knowledge from? These are some serious questions that need to be answered. Because ibadah in and of itself is not going to be sufficient unless it is based on the proper foundation. And the proper foundation is not one that you wake up with, nor is it one that is trivial. It is one that requires some effort that needs to be exerted. It is one that requires some learning. It is one which requires some suffering, some struggling, so we can have this foundation, so that it can be sound. Otherwise, among the Muslims are hundreds of thousands engaged in all kinds of ibadat, many of which are innovated. And the truth of the matter is, Allah will not accept them. Allah may give him ajr for their niyyah. A mubtadi' who doesn't know any better, trying to get closer to Allah with a bid'ah, Allah may give him the ajr for the intention. He intended good, but the deed itself, it will not be rewarded, because it wasn't legislated by Allah Azza wa Jal. It wasn't legislated by Allah Azza wa Jal. So how many of the ibadat we are doing today are per the sunnah? The dua which people have become overly fascinated with in Ramadan. Dua al-Qunut, Dua al-Witr. It has become some, it went viral, as they say. Every year, someone's Ramadan revolves around this dua. As long as the imam makes dua, as long as he screams enough for me to cry enough for my sins to be forgiven enough, the louder the ameen, the better. The more he disrespects Allah, the more we're happy. Because we don't know what the imam is saying. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. You have no clue, my brothers in Islam. Wallah al-Azim, Those who understand Arabic will understand what I'm saying. Let's deal with some facts. As people who may not know Arabic, you assume your imam is knowledgeable. And you assume that he knows what he's saying. Wallahi, most of them don't know what they're saying. Most of them are cursing Allah in their dua. They're screaming at Allah in their dua. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the one who commanded us to make dua tadarru'an wa khufya, in humbleness and in silent. وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ, in the ayah, in Surah Al-Isra, وَابْتَغِ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا, in the tafsir of the ayah, Aisha said, رَضَ عَنَّا, it's in regards to the dua. It's in regards to the dua. There are times for you to scream, like Friday sermon. And there are times for you to calm down, like when making dua. Even if it's on Friday sermon. You don't stand behind the microphone and scream at Allah Azza wa Jal and tell Him, we came for you. We left our children back home. We left our wives back home. We left the dunya back home. We have come to you. Excuse me. Allah brought you here. You haven't done anything. You don't go tell Allah what you have done. Allah is the one who made you even think about doing it. This is inappropriate. But this is what you will hear in these masajid. Tartil of the dua. As if you're reading a surah from the Quran. Idgham and ikhfa and idhar and qalqala. This is the speech of a human being. It is not supposed to be done in this fashion. And then the people just screaming Ameen. And they think the louder the Ameen and the more they shake, the more sins will be forgiven. I don't know where this came from. From where? From which Sahabi? From which Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do we learn this? From where? It's man-made, homemade, locally made. Amongst our different cultures, everyone comes up with their own way of doing things. And this is just an example, my brothers. This dua, the virtuous dua of Qunut, has some manners and etiquette which we have to adhere to. You may not be the imam, so you don't have a choice, understandable. But at least understand your role in the situation so that you will gain the ajr of making the dua. You won't be saying Ameen to something that is inappropriate. Or is it possible that an imam says, We knocked all of the doors, O Allah, and the only door that is left is yours. This is shirk. He tried everybody, and when everyone failed him, then he remembered Allah. All the doors he knocked, no one opened the door. Allah, now that everybody failed us, what about you? Huh? Can you do something for us tonight? This is shirk, ya Azizi. He's happy with himself, crying his eyes out. And everybody crying behind him, Ameen! Ameen! Ameen for what? Ameen for what? So we need to know what's going on. When we say Ameen, we say it humbly. Just like a beggar. The one making dua is a beggar. You stand like this, and you put your hands together just like a beggar. You say Ameen. Ameen. So that you can hear yourself. Enough. Not the whole masjid screaming. Screaming. And the more he screams and the more they scream. This is a concert. It's not ibadah. It's not ibadah which is pleasing to Allah. In fact, I'm afraid sometimes Allah will send a lightning to strike the imam in the middle of this dua because of the gravity of what he's saying against Allah Azza wa Jal. So as ma'mumin, my ikhwan, raise your hands humbly. Say Ameen lowly when he's making dua. If he's praising Allah, don't say anything. If he says, Ya Azim, Ya Qawi, Allahumma laka alhamdu hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi, whatever is thana, praising Allah, we don't say anything. We just acknowledge in our heart. When he says, Allah maghfir lana warhamna, Ameen. Ameen. From a sound heart. From a sincere heart. You don't have to cry, and you don't have to put on an act, and you don't have to make a big scene for Allah to forgive your sins. In fact, Allah loves that humbleness and that tranquility way more And he doesn't even love the other kind. Doesn't even love it. Doesn't even accept it. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. The very ayah which Allah said, call on your Lord in humbleness and in secret. He does not love the transgressors. He does not love the transgressors. Read the tafsir of the ulama for this ayah. He will find that it revolves around a person going to extremes in his dua. Either elongating it until your feet are about to fall apart, you can't stand anymore, it's tiring, which is not from the sunnah, or the screaming, or whatever else they've included of the human speech. People want to give you a maw'idah, he wants to give you a lecture during the dua. Oh Allah, half of Ramadan has gone by, and there are only 14 days left, and we're afraid that the next 3 days they're going to be faster than the days that went before. So oh Allah, ya akhil aziz, anta, when you're making dua, you're speaking to the audience. Does not Allah know what happened before and after? What are you talking about? And then going into the details. Destroy their tanks. Oh Allah, destroy their airplanes. Destroy their soldiers. Destroy their weaponry. Destroy their Kalashnikovs. The khalas. Khalas, Habibi. This is not a lecture. Make dua, oh Allah, take revenge from them. Allahumma intaqim minhum. Allahumma alayka bihim. Like the Prophet ﷺ would say, something comprehensive that includes everything you want to say in one sentence. You don't have to show Allah how to do things. People trying to teach Allah how to deal with the disbelievers. Your job is to ask Allah to take care of the disbelievers, not to explain to Him the manner in which you want it to be executed. It's ridiculous. But we see it every single night, and the heart is about to die. The heart is about to cry because of the severity of the situation. It's like no one knows and no one cares. And you talk to the imam, and it boils down to more or less ma yatlibuhu al-mustami'un. It's what the people want to hear, brother. You know, my job is to make the people happy. If I were not to do this, then the people will become upset. Therefore, they will take me out, bring another imam. You know, come on. Is that an answer that you can answer Allah with on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Aren't you supposed to be the example which we follow so we can all be upon the sunnah when we see you upon the sunnah? If the people are not used to it, it's our job to train them. It's our job to explain to them so that we can all make that positive change. But we don't go with the flow just to make people happy while we're all diverting away from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was one example, my brothers. One example to pinpoint the importance of our aqidah and methodology. How important it is that not only we are sincere, not only we are spiritual individuals, not only we are righteous and pious, but we are doing so in a manner which is in agreement with the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way he and the Sahaba did it, so it can be fruitful, so it can be acceptable, because it is only them whom Allah said about radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. Unless we follow their footsteps strictly, we are not qualified to receive the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And ibadah without the pleasure of Allah is not going to benefit on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Ask Allah to make us among those who understand this. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Brothers in faith, as you can see and feel, time is running way faster than ever before. Every year it gets worse. We are somewhere halfway through Ramadan, subhanallah. And maybe some of us, had we not believed, could swear that we only started fasting 2 days ago. And soon enough, as you all know, it will come to an end. It will come to an end. And if Ramadan goes out without us having successfully attained what is pleasing to Allah, then this is the ultimate kind of loss. It's like someone who's in a supermarket and the supermarket is full of offers. Almost everything in this store has buy one, get one free. This one is 50% off. This one is 70% off. And he stays in this marketplace for 30 days. And then he leaves the store having bought the only item which was not on offer. The only item which was overpriced. The only item which had no promotion or offer with it. So everybody leaves having bought a big cart of items for a cheap price, and he goes out with one little piece of merchandise and he paid for it more than everybody else. You will say, this is an ultimate loser. I cannot even imagine a bigger loser. 1 month you're in a market, you couldn't get your hands on something. Everything around you saying 50% off, it's special offer. You couldn't manage to get anything except the one item which was not on sale, which was overpriced by mistake. A Muslim going through Ramadan, all this good around us, during the night, during the day, everywhere you go, every time, to leave with nothing is unacceptable. Unacceptable. And if we haven't done the job in what has passed, then inshallah there's hope in what is coming. Let us have that resolve, that conviction. Let us revive it if it had died. Because for many people it dies after a few days. The first few days the energy is there, and then afterwards it starts calming down and calming down until towards the end of Ramadan. This is a time where many people, by the way, become negligent. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. They are excited in the beginning, looking forward to Laylatul Qadr and the last night, so in between, there's nothing being done. But this is the time for us to invest. Invest into every particular, every moment that is given to us. Fi sabilillah. But more importantly, before and after, all the time, we have to dedicate the time and the effort and the energy for what was discussed in the beginning of the khutbah. We have to make sure that our aqidah is like the Prophet's alayhi salatu salam, and our manhaj is like the Prophet's alayhi salatu salam. That we don't belong to a group. Don't belong to a group. Don't be Salafi, don't be Ikhwani, don't be Tablighi, don't be none of this stuff. None of it. And every day they come up with a new one, or they erase another one and they add another one. It's like creating folders on your computer. Every time they feel like it, they just create a folder, then a subfolder. Now you have to put your files in there. No, you don't. No, you don't. Your job and my job is to follow a way. A way that is free from titles. Because often the titles defeat the purpose of the way. They create such fitna that the people lose the way while they're trying to make it to the way. But it is the most important thing in our lives to make sure that before we meet Allah, we have learned the sound aqidah, and we have followed the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every single ibadah, so that we will be among the strangers and we will be among those elite whom Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about, and who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about. Not everyone is qualified. It is not for every Muslim. It is for some Muslims whom we ask Allah to make us amongst. But it is not merely wishing, my brothers. It is not just hope and wish. There must be some effort associated with that. So I urge myself and you, don't only read the Quran in Arabic to get the ajr. Please read it in a language which you understand. Read the interpretation of the meaning of the Quran in Urdu, in English, in Hindi. I don't know what language you speak. It doesn't matter. Please, even in Ramadan, read it. It is superior to the mere recitation. The Jews were able to read the Torah very well, but then they went against the Torah, and now they become an example for us to learn from. It is not just recitation. Engage the Quran. Understand the Quran, love the Quran, reflect on the Quran, contemplate the message of the Quran. This doesn't happen for the lazy, and it doesn't happen for those who don't have time. But when the Quran is internalized, it will guide us to the sunnah. And when the sunnah is internalized, it will guide us to the proper way and the sirat al-mustaqim. And this is the way of success. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub, isrif qulubana ila ta'atik. Allahumma zalamna anfusana, wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana, wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلي اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد المختار أقيم الصلاة